Well, Hebrews chapter 4. The writer here, the author I consider to be Paul, is really labouring that the Lord Jesus, although he is now in heaven, has a great continuity with us here on earth. Verse 14, having then a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. This great high priest has passed through the heavens. He's clearly alluding to the record of the ascension, when they watched Jesus ascending higher and higher into a cloud, and then he disappeared from their sight. Why labour this point? I think the idea is that the Lord Jesus, as he was here on earth after his resurrection, with whom they met, they ate together, they touched him, they handled him, as John says in his letter, this same Jesus actually went all the way up there, if you wish to look at it in those terms. He passed through the clouds, he passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. This underlines what Paul is later going to write in this letter, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, who Jesus essentially was when he was here is who he is now, and that is the Jesus we shall meet when he comes again. You know how it is sometimes when you think you know somebody, and suddenly they show another face, and you think, oh, hang, I see. Well, all right, so all I knew of you was kind of true, but then there's that to factor in. So in summary, you're not quite at all who I thought you were. Well, Jesus is not like that and is not going to be like that. Jesus is the same today as he was yesterday, and he's going to be the same Jesus whom we meet at the Day of Judgment. So the Jesus who loved little children, the Jesus who couldn't stand religious hypocrisy, his toughest words were always for the Pharisees, for right-wing, closed religion that is judgmental of other people. The Jesus who died to save people. The Jesus who desperately wanted the repentance of people, who would have gathered the chicks of Jerusalem, as it were, under his wings to save them from the destruction to come. The Jesus who bothered, at the very limit of human endurance, to turn and talk to the women who were lining the Via Dolorosa as he went to his death. The Jesus who forgave the thief. The Jesus who could pray for those who crucified him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the Jesus with whom we will deal at the Day of Judgment. And so, as I say, this Jesus who has passed through the heavens is still that Jesus who was here on earth after his resurrection. And even although the resurrection changed his nature, he received eternal life, yet in terms of character and personality, he was the same after his resurrection as he was when he was a young man growing up in Nazareth, as he was in the workplace, as he was as he walked around Galilee teaching and preaching about the kingdom. I think this is why in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, the exalted Lord Jesus is called a man. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Now that was written, of course, well after the Lord had ascended. This does not mean he has human nature, because his nature has been changed. He is immortal. But what it does mean is that he is so identified with us that he can be called a man. He's called in Hebrews the pioneer of our faith. He showed us the path to glory, that he, as one of us, as one of our boys, ascended, as we've read here, far above all things, through the clouds, through the heavens, to God himself. He is real. He is really there. We read in Hebrews of how he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven itself. And yet in Acts you read of him standing before God, pleading for Stephen, and Stephen has a vision of him and says, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, he sits, but we're invited to see him as standing as well, passionately feeling about the sufferings of just one of his people here on earth. And so 15 here, verse 15, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Why the double negative? We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Why not just say we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses? But he says we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. I think he's addressing the unspoken, deeply, maybe subconscious suspicion, doubt that there is within us, that it's okay for him, but he doesn't know what it's like to be provoked all day long in the workplace, in domestic life, and then to struggle with lack of money, and this goes wrong and that goes wrong, and I just feel like screaming, and I sin, and it was okay for him. Well, it wasn't okay for him. Not at all. He, in fact, passed through far worse and far more intensity of temptation than we shall ever know. We shall ever know in this life, but in the kingdom it will be one of the joys to know him. The Lord, as Alan Hayward put to me years ago, the Lord whom we scarcely know, that then we shall know, even as we are known. And we shall see that it was not all right for him. We had it easy. So we are not to think that he cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Put that suspicion way out even of your subconscious. He has been tempted in all things, like as we are, yet he did not sin. So somehow he, as again we read in Hebrews, by God's grace, tasted death for every man. It means that nobody can say, he doesn't know exactly how I feel. He can't empathize because he didn't go through all I went through. Well, in essence, he did. And that is the reason why he suffered far more mentally and in every way than any of us as individuals do. He suffered so widely and experienced such nature of temptation that nobody can ever say, nobody knows how I feel. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Because, in fact, there is one who can. Maybe there is nobody on this earth, that is so, but there is a man who can, and that is the man from heaven, the Lord Jesus, who is in heaven and shall come from heaven to this earth. So when we read, then, that he was tempted in all things like as we are, we don't have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, the King James says. Well, the idea is he can have compassion on us. He can be touched with our feelings. We are told in 1 Peter, have compassion one of another. Even here in Hebrews 10, Paul says that the Hebrew Christians at one stage had compassion upon me. Point is, as he has had compassion on us, and as he still does, and as he thinks himself into our shoes, so we also should do that to others. We can't be passive to this wonderful relationship with the man in heaven who absolutely stands at God's right hand for us and knows completely our feelings, our weaknesses, and the implication is our spiritual weaknesses, and sympathizes with us. So it's not simply that we're left with a set of commands, and if you obey them, well, you get a tick, and if you don't, like God gets mad at you kind of thing. Jesus sympathizes with us in our weakness. This is the lovely nature of his character. It's typical that if you have been through something successfully, you get a bit tough on other people who can't do it. You know, the people who've given up smoking, they get very cranky with people who are still smoking. And yet Jesus, although he overcame every weakness, he sympathizes with us in our weaknesses as we keep falling for them. This is the lovely nature of him as a person. And so let us therefore, verse 16, draw near with boldness to the throne of grace. This is where understanding that the Lord Jesus had our nature and was totally tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and therefore he sympathizes with us in our weaknesses, moral weaknesses, I think is the idea. We can therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. It is all of grace. But we can be bold or confident before God because of Jesus. Now, the same word is found in 1 John 2, where we're told that we shall be confident or bold before him in the day of judgment. And we think, well, how could that be? Well, how can that be? I think what it means is that our attitude in prayer to God now is going to be our attitude to him and to Jesus at the last day. We should be confident. Maybe bold implies a kind of an arrogance. Well, no, that is not appropriate. The idea is of confidence, not of arrogance, not of overconfidence, not of confidence in ourselves. But just as we are confident before him now, believing the good news that if I die or Jesus comes now, I will for sure be in his kingdom, we can likewise be at the day of judgment. So when Jesus comes and we stand before him, it's no good thinking that, oh yeah, well, it's all going to be kind of different then. Well, yeah, in a physical sense, obviously, but you know, faith shall be turned to sight and we shall see him. But in essence, the relationship that we have with him now is the one we will have with him at the last day. And that is a challenge. And yet, it should ultimately be a great comfort that because he was of our nature, because he sympathizes with us right now in our weaknesses, we therefore can be confident that we will receive mercy, as he says, and find grace to help in time of need. And I think that time of need is the time of sin, the time of confession of sin. We have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, who does have compassion on those who are out of the way, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's not the high priest who simply says, oh, you sinned, you messed up, okay, well, give me the animal, right, okay, I shall slaughter it, and whatever, I'll do the rituals, okay, thank you, next, please. No, this is the high priest who sympathizes. Oh, you messed up, now what'd you do? Oh, yeah, you yelled at your husband. You yelled at your kids, or you yelled at your dad. Oh, yeah. What was it? What happened in the day? One of the animals died, and then one of the sheep ran away. And then, the donkeys that ran away 2 days ago, you still haven't found them. I guess you're going through it, huh? Sure, I'll do it for you. Don't worry. It's all scribbled. Let me give you grace to help in your time of need. This is the high priest that we have.